For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
And a good Saturday morning and welcome into the opening day of the Louisiana statewide and the Alabama North Zone dove seasons. Mississippi's already open and we got a pleasant little change in the weather coming. But while this little cool front that's kind of moving in is going to feel a whole lot better in the dove field than normal September midday dove hunting. But the question is going to be, is it enough to move the doves in? Or move the ones that we hear out? Same goes for teal for next weekend. Could it be either or could it be both? Well, if you're going to be dove hunting, let me know. You can text me at 504-260-1870. You'd like to hear your details, who you're hunting with, where you're hunting with, and what the prospects are for your dove hunt this morning. We're also looking for answers to a couple of questions. Number one, I received a saltwater recreational survey by email this week. To provide data for the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. My question for you, have you ever received one of these, and did you fill it out? That's how we get the near real-time collection data. Number two, this past Labor Day weekend, our Bayou Isle TV crew, along with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters over there in Gulfport, Mississippi, we headed into the Mississippi Gulf for another hunt fish of a lifetime trip with a young patient, a Hodgkin's lymphoma patient named Justin Logar, and his dad, John. They both came a long way from New Jersey, and I'm happy to tell you he was able to catch the fish of his lifetime, an estimated 155-pound tarpon, we call them. Well, what would be your hunt or fish of a lifetime? A bucket list trip. What would it be for you? You can text those answers to those questions along with your personal fishing reports, your comments, your question. That number, again, keep it handy, is 504-260-1870. Your text messages come in real time. Sorry, we can't accept photographs. If you want to send me an image, you can do that by going to my website using the contact button at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Our Bayou Wild photographer who documented that trip last weekend is going to be joining us. Chris Lecoq is his name. We'll be previewing what you'll see this fall and winter on Bayou Wild season number 13. The Louisiana Red Snapper quota numbers, the catch is in through August 25th, and it's sitting at 92.3%. Red Snapper season in Louisiana is going to wrap up soon, so get them while you can. And you also may have heard this week Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shahan has requested the commission consider relaxing regulations on two species of sharks that have gone from threatened to nuisance status, making a lot of recreational anglers happy. We'll have the details. They did pass that on Thursday in the form of a notice of intent, and we'll tell you what that's all about. And speaking of sharks, this coming Tuesday will be the 110th anniversary of the only documented shark attack fatality in Louisiana. I'll have that chilling story as well as what might be the most repulsive bad boy, the outdoor story I've ever told in 35 years of this show's history. It's the case of the spotted fawn strangler. You heard me right. Well, let's look at your coastal marine forecast. If you're getting out, boy, that front is moving through. It's pushing. A lot of areas have already cleared behind Slidell, Hammond, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Lake Charles, New Iberia, Morgan City. All those areas are in the clear. Still dealing with it. Cocodrie, Dulac, some of those areas to the extreme southeast of Louisiana still got a little bit to go, but I think in the next hour, 2 hours, it's going to be out of here. We're going to have much more pleasant weather. What you'll be dealing with instead of rain might be some residual northeast winds. There is a small craft advisory up offshore. Northeast winds 15 to 25, 3 to 5 foot seas, but I'm not seeing that right now. Much lighter winds and lower seas, and we'll check with our field reporters, find out how accurate that is. And we'll be back to do that. We start off in Shell Beach with Robbie Campo's report next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, it's been a rough couple of weeks, especially down the lower coast weather-wise, but that is getting ready. In fact, it's in the process of changing right now. Let's see what's going on at Shell Beach at Campo's Marina. Talk to Robbie Campo. Robbie, did you guys have any high water problems? We had a lot of winds from the southeast and a lot of rain combined. I know there were some places that were fearing water up on the docks and stuff. Were you guys okay?
Don, I tell you, we are experiencing water on the dock. Water came up, I believe it was Thursday evening. It was 4.9 feet above sea level. It was almost to the edge of the highway. None up on, we didn't have to drive through any to get out, but it was lapping up on the road. It was right there. So today it's just up on the docks. We're going to see this probably until the front gets through here and maybe kind of blow some of this water out. We have a northeast wind this morning, Don, 22 miles an hour, holding pretty steady there. So
yeah.
It's been blowing, raining all night. I looked at the radar earlier. I think we're going to get a little break in this, later on this morning here. But I tell you, not having many folks out fishing the last couple of days, it's kind of hard to give you a fishing report when you didn't have anybody fishing. It takes people to go out to find out what's going on. We did have some guys go out. Captain Charlie Thomason and his crew, they fished on the south side. And I'm, from looking at the Facebook post, I see they've done well with redfish. And I know Captain Jonathan Sanchez and Danny Dyson do fish over here on the north side in the Biloxi Marsh. And they also did well with some reds. I haven't had any trout reports in the last couple of days due to this weather. So, it's just been nasty. Today is the kind of day that if you have honeydews, you get them done, because there's better days to come, and fall fishing is just around the corner, guys. And I'm thinking we're just going to have a spectacular fall here. So, you might want to, if she's sending you to Home Depot this morning, get your list and get it ready and get it done so you could enjoy the days ahead, that we're going to have a good fishing here.
Yeah, if somebody is, it's their days and they got to fish or they want to go later this afternoon or tomorrow, I think it's definitely going to improve. But instead of dealing with rain, they're going to be dealing with wind and maybe a little high and dirty water. Robbie, next weekend's the big opening of the teal season. Are you going to be open early enough for people that want to get out there and head to the Biloxi Marsh and give it a shot, even though, I'm not getting a whole lot of reports from there? What are you hearing?
Well, Don, my kid went back and looked for those ducks that we talked about. the other day, and I think those ducks were passing through. Never seen them again, and it wasn't in the same spot. So I think, you know, but you never know, Don, with this wind, that this little front coming through, it may bring some teals down. And it's always, you know, teals are a funny duck. I mean, because they could be there one day, you know, not be there one day and just be there the next. So, yeah, we'll be here. We get here around 4:30, 4:40 in the morning. So we quarter five, we always here. So if we got any duck hunters that want to go next weekend and go give it a shot, we're gonna be here. We'll be open.
Well, my advice would be, in addition to the shotguns and the decoys, bring your fishing gear, because you can do the blast and cast. If you don't find the teal, or teal hunting generally wraps up pretty early, then you got the whole rest of the morning to fish, and hopefully we'll have a little bit better weather and some better conditions for next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Don, especially if you hunt up in that Biloxi Marsh, it's always good to bring a fishing pole, because you could go hit, Max Pass and Stump Lagoon or somewhere right around Muscle Bay back there, and usually pick up a few fish before, you know, on your way in. So if you get to hunt that morning and get lucky to kill a few, I don't know what's going to transpire. If they're going to come down, if they're going to, you know, fly, if the flyway is still going westward, that all remains to be seen until next Saturday morning. And I know we got some diehards that's going to go, because I know people that's, you know, been out building blinds already and, you know, scouting and so forth and so on. So, you know, on their own private leases. But anyway, I do know people that's been scouting the Biloxi Marsh and, you know, seen just a couple, but not the amount of ducks that, you'd be out there looking for. So, but anyway, we're going to be here. And look, if you're going fishing today, we got bait in the tanks, and if it's your day to go, hook the left at the bridge and come and see us. We're here all day. We're waiting on them.
Yep, and keep an eye on that weather. Look at that radar, because that frontal system is moving through, and conditions are going to definitely improve. You know, Robbie, I can't tell you how many times I've been set up hunting ducks, and from the blind or from the boat blind, all of a sudden I see redfish breaking and tailing in the pond. I'm saying, man, I should have brought a rod. I could have caught him right here from the blind. You know, it happens.
Yeah, it does happen. I've heard that multiple times from people, and said, man, we were sitting there and they were tailing in the decoys. and I know people that brought the fishing pole and has caught them out of the duck blind. So, while you're fighting a redfish, somebody's shooting a teal. But it does happen, Don. And, I just wish I had a better report for you, and I don't. And the weather's nasty, and today is just one of these days. If you got honeydews, get them done, because we got to have some exciting fishing coming soon. You just got to get this kind of stuff done when.
Robbie,
God gives you lemons, you make lemonade. So that's what we're going to do it.
Thanks for always being there, Robbie. We always tell them, hook the left when you get across the bridge, my friend.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, Don.
All right. There he goes. Robbie Campo. Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right. We come back after this. Got some text messages to get to. A couple questions. Are you going dove hunting? Have you ever gotten a survey from Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to fill out about your fishing to help give them data? And if you did you fill it out? And what is your bucket list trip of a lifetime, hunting or fishing? 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Comes right here to the studio. Back to share some of our listener text with you, and also got some announcements to make right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, today, opening day of the hunting season. So we got Louisiana is going to be open statewide, and now you don't have that noon opening. It's 1/2 hour before sunrise, which is coming up pretty soon, till sunset. It's open in both the north and south zones. Alabama's North Zone will be opening today, and then next weekend the South Zone opens. They have a noon opening on opening day only, and then after that it's the 1/2 hour before sunrise, and I'll be over there hunting on that opening day of the South Zone in Alabama next Saturday morning. Mississippi has already been open, both the North and South Zones. Shooting hours there 1/2 hour before sunrise. If you're going dove hunting, we'd love to hear from you. Tell me where you're going. Boy, I had a lot of trouble. I had a lot of people asking about where you could go on a pay-per-day dove hunt, and it just seems like there's just not many of those around. I didn't get any information other than the Wildlife and Fisheries has some leases, some small leases, which I think are probably, unless they limit the number of permits, it's going to be overcrowded. They're like 20-acre fields in western and north Louisiana. But other than that, some WMAs are open for public hunting. But for the most part, finding a dove field like it used to be is a thing of the past. Most private landowners just have private invitation to specific friends and neighbors, I would think. All right, got some text messages coming in. This one's from Lafitte LT. He wants to know where to find the red snapper quota. He's looked on the Wildlife and Fishery and other sites, but he can only find the results from June. Well, it's on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, and if you might recall, when I had the Secretary Madison Shahan on, it was one of the things I mentioned to her was they needed to do some work with that Wildlife and Fisheries website. It's not very user-friendly. It's hard to find things, and she vowed that they would work on it, and you just got to navigate around till you locate it. I did make the announcement. The latest is 92.3%. We had almost 1 million pounds to catch. We're just about there, and as soon as they project that that will be reached, they will issue a closure. But for now, red snapper, Louisiana season still going on. He also says his wife makes him wake her up for the Bad Boys segment. Then she goes back to sleep. LOL. Well, it's coming up in a little while, so you can get her up and let her go back to sleep. All right, got a question coming in from the Mad Trucker. Are hoodwinks worth buying? I'm not exactly sure what you mean by a hoodwink. I think what you're talking about is those little sleeping masks that you put on to make it dark and help you sleep. I think if that's what you're talking about, I don't have any personal experience with them, but I had a girlfriend that used to use those on airplane flights, and seemed like it really worked for her, but I've never giving them a try, so I can't give you an opinion whether they're worth buying or not. I guess some people say. Maybe some of our listeners have had experience and can weigh in on it. 504-260-1870. Good to hear our friend Wing Bones up, our turkey call maker from the Wing Bones of the Wild Turkeys. Captain Ross L. checking in. He said the weather had them on their toes yesterday, but still caught a limit of reds and a few black drum to boot. All right, Backstrap Stacker, he's up in Clark County, Alabama today. His fishing trip of a lifetime would be an Alaskan halibut trip. Yeah, I've been there, done that, and I got to tell you, that's one of the greatest trips of my lifetime. I wouldn't say it's the top, but it certainly ranks up there, because not only do you get a giant flounder on steroids, you got some great eating there, too. He says they needed some of that rain and finally got it. The interior of his truck needed it. The dust was getting out of control on those old red dirt roads. Yeah, it's a lot of places needed rain. A lot of places got more than what they had hoped for. And some of those places were down around the Houma, Dulac area. In fact, it's still getting some pretty good rains there. It sat over the Lake Charles area for a couple of days. But that system is moving on down. It's moving from the northwest to the southeast, and I'm thinking in just a couple hours it's going to be pretty much limited to the offshore. All right, we got some more texts. We'll get to those a little bit later on, 504-260-1870. When we come back, we're going to talk about sharks. They were in the news today. Secretary of Wildlife and Fisheries asked the commission, which they agreed to eliminate the recreational size and bag limit on a couple of pesky species of sharks. And if you fished offshore, particularly out of the Grand Isle area, you know what I'm talking about. We're back to talk about that. And also next, is it Monday or Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday. No, Monday is the 110th anniversary of the only ever documented shark attack fatality in Louisiana. It's a chilling story, and I'll share it with you when we come back. Stick around here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, the weather's looking a little better. It's improving, unless you're in that Grand Isle and Cocodrie, Dulac area. Boy, it's really got some heavy stuff embedded there. Also, some pretty stiff winds coming through the front that's passing through, but behind it, it's leaving some much drier conditions. And we'll keep you updated throughout the show for the next couple hours on the weather situation. All right, we've got the South Central Planning and Development Commission has been conducting surveys on behalf of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries regarding saltwater recreational activities. And I was chosen to get a survey from that organization this week. And it says you have the option of not receiving a phone call, which would collect the data, if you complete the survey before 10 a.m. on Wednesday. And I did that. I went online and answered a few questions that basically ask if you went fishing. Did you fish from a boat? Was it a private angler, a charter trip? Which basin were you? Did you keep the fish? How much time did you spend fishing? Questions like that to get data so that they can better manage recreational fishing. And have you ever gotten one of those? That's maybe the second time I've ever gotten that. And I didn't wait for the phone call. That's, you know, hit and miss if they're going to catch you on the phone. But by filling it out, hopefully that'll help them. If you got one of those, let me know, 504-260-1870. We're going to take a quick pause for a 10-second station ID. When we come back, we're going to talk sharks. Louisiana's opening up the take of a couple of species, at least they hope to, if the legislature allows it. And I'm going to tell you about a chilling shark fatality story, the only recorded one ever in Louisiana, and it took place in Lake Pontchartrain. Back with that, but first we'll let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. This week, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shahan asked the commission, which they obliged her and did, was to eliminate the recreational size and bag limits for black tip and bull sharks. They have had a 54-inch minimum size and a one fish per person, per vessel, per day. And if this passes, it will eliminate that. It'll be pretty much open season on any size, any number for recreational fishermen on those two species. They say that they have recovered sufficiently. In fact, they have become depredatory and basically nuisance. And if you've been fishing offshore, you probably know what I'm talking about, reeling up some heads sometimes with nothing left but the imprint of a shark's bite. Well, on the commercial side, they will increase that from 45 per day to 55 per trip. And the way this stands now, the commission filed what's called a notice of intent. There's now a 90-day comment period where the public and any organization will be asked to comment on what they think about it. And then at the end of the comment period, the commission will review it. They may make modifications or they may keep it as it is written now and send that to the legislature for their oversight committee, and then they will have the opportunity to review it, maybe modify it, reject it, or approve it, or basically do nothing. And sometime next year, we may be able to keep and black tip and bull sharks, as many as the recreationals want, with no size limit on them. All right, so, and you know what, this really, more important, it's not a big deal, but what it shows me, you know, just the week before, the secretary appealed to the commission and to increase the number of days you can hunt the whistling ducks because they're here. And these are two things that you, the listeners, actually gave me to present to the secretary as things you'd like to see, and the list is a lot longer than that, but it shows me that she's actually responding to public requests by doing those two pretty small things. And she also went aboard on one of the Menhaden boats, the Pogie boat, and observed what was going on there and came back with a report that she felt pretty confident that they were going to abide by the law and do the reporting as required, and feels like there's some steady improvement there. That the jury's still out on that. That remains to be seen. But what it does is it shows me she's working to cooperate with public requests, things that the public is asking for, things that we say, this is a no-brainer, this should happen. She's taken the time to do that. So we'll see how she fares out. I know there's been a lot of controversy. A lot of you are are behind her 100%, and a lot of you don't think she ever deserved a job, coming in with no experience, never being in Louisiana, not that big of a involvement in outdoor issues. To head up a big agency like that was a pretty big task to undertake, and we'll see how she progresses. All right, also did want to make this announcement about the Acadiana Youth Hunter Education Club. They are having their 20-year anniversary hunting and fishing banquet. This is going to be on next Saturday, September the 14th. It kicks off at 5 o'clock at the Bayou Bend Conference Center on Northwest Boulevard in Franklin, Louisiana. Got a big deal going on here. They're going to have auctions and great food and a lot of money being raised for a great cause, the Acadiana Youth Hunter Education Club. They provide hunter education and activities for 10 to 18-year-olds. And you can get tickets and tables, and if you just go to Acadiana, Y-H-E-C, Y-H-E-C, that's Youth Hunter Education Club. Should be a great night over there at the Bayou Bend Conference Center. 20 years has been going on and helping youth get into hunting and fishing. There'll be a lot of silent auctions and a whole lot more. So if you can make it, there it is. Again, that is Acadiana, Y-H-E-C. All right, I didn't have time this segment for the shark story. I will do that as soon as we come back. Tell you about the only recorded shark attack fatality that took place in Louisiana. And on this coming Monday, it will be 110 years ago. Tell you all about it after these messages on the Outdoors with Tom Dubuque Radio Network. And on the September 9th, 1914, it'll be 110 years ago on this coming Monday, the only ever documented shark fatality took place in Lake Pontchartrain in Louisiana. And let me set the stage for you. In 1914, there wasn't a whole lot of entertainment going on. This was before television. I think there may have been some very early movie theaters. No internet, no TikTok, no Facebook. People were entertained in ways now that we would seem to be primitive. And at that time, on the shoreline, the south shore of Lake Pontchartrain, there was the West End Amusement Park, which was the predecessor of what later on became known as Pontchartrain Beach, which was a big amusement park. But this one, in sketches I've seen, basically was a dock. It had a roller coaster on it and, you know, other exhibit halls. And part of the entertainment that took place there, they had what were called fancy swimmers. These were professional swimmers that went out and entertained an audience by their different types of strokes and swimming. And there was a pretty large crowd that gathered there on September the 9th to watch a young man. He was 17 years old. He was from Turkey, named Peter Konspoulos. And he was a fancy swimmer. He swam out about, they said, somewhere between 100 and 200 yards off the shore and had been performing for about 15 minutes when all of a sudden he was attacked by a shark. The first attack pulled him completely under, and he was bitten on the right foot on that first attack. He managed to get free and start swimming for shore, and then a second attack occurred, and this one got him on the right leg. And he was kicking and flailing his arms as the crowd was watching in horror. What was there was a pretty big crowd that had lined the bank, and he got free again. And he continued to try to struggle. By this time, some men in the audience went and got a boat and started heading for him. The accounts that were in the newspapers didn't say if they were paddling the boat, if it had a small outboard motor, which was all was available at that time. But it took a while for them to get to him. After he was bitten on the right arm, he got free again. And the crowd said he was slowed down. Obviously, he had been hit three times. And the last time he was bitten, the entire shark came out of the water with the boy's torso, the right side of his body, in its mouth, completely in its mouth, and went down. And he actually got free of that and was struggling. About that time, the boat got there. The shark took off. And before that rescue boat could get to shore, he bled to death from those injuries. I was doing a story on shark attacks and came across this story. It's the only one I could ever find about anyone that was killed in Louisiana by a shark attack. There have been other shark bites. I remember an acquaintance of mine from Slidell that was a diver. He was bitten while he was diving by a tiger shark. There's been some bites. In fact, others at Lake Pontchartrain right there by the Seabrook Bridge, there was a youngster that was bitten there. And a lot of times, if you're fishing offshore, if you've ever done it wade fishing on the edge of the Gulf, like Chandelier Island, Grand Isle, a lot of times what you do is you have a stringer, and it's tied to your belt, and you string the fish on it. So you got this stringer of dying fish and sometimes bleeding fish going out from you, and that attracts sharks. I've actually had my stringer tugged on by sharks. People refer to them as sand sharks. The technical term is the Atlantic sharp nose. They don't get very big. They're not considered man-eaters, but I'm sure there's been people who have been grazed by those in shallow water. But as far as a fatality, this was the only one, and it occurred 110 years ago on September the 9th in Lake Pontchartrain. The death certificate was signed by Dr. O'Reilly, and the cause of death was clearly a shark bite. Only one, so, you know, I'm sure there's probably been other shark deaths that have been unreported, and people who were lost at sea and never recovered, it could have been the cause of sharks. But that's the only one. They would estimate, and I would think, I tend to agree, I think this was probably a bull shark. Bull sharks frequent Lake Pontchartrain. In fact, we just did a fishing trip, and we caught a couple of small ones with Mason Taylor, who is an LSU tight end. We were doing a Tigers in the Wild, and he caught some pretty big garfish. And, of course, it was catch and release in Lake Pontchartrain. They come in there to spawn, and they have a higher tolerance for fresh or brackish water. They've been found all the way up the Mississippi River. So I'm thinking that that's probably what it was. They're big enough to do that. It would probably be a very large bull shark. And unfortunately, this young man and the crowd got a lot more than they bargained for. All right, that's the story of the shark attack. I want to remind you, Sunshine John Deere, in fact, I was talking about Mason Taylor. He and I, you may see in a picture of he and I in a gator, an LSU-colored purple and gold gator that John Deere and Sunshine Equipment is giving away with LSU, and this will benefit the Louisiana FFA and the 4-H programs. And it's $20 for a ticket. It will be drawn at an LSU home game to be announced. The tickets will be available from now through November the 17th. And if you want to get one, just check it out. Go to John Deere or Sunshine Equipment, and you can find the ticket information there. All right, we come back after this. We'll check in with Captain Darrell Carpenter. Grand Isle is a mess right now. It's been a mess all week. Hopefully that's going to clear up in the next several hours or by tomorrow. We'll find out what's going on down there on Louisiana's largest inhabited, they call it an island, Grand Isle. We're back right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's head on down to Grand Isle. Not sure we want to go down there this morning. Weather looking a little rough. Let's talk to Darrell Carpenter. Darrell, what's been going on? Recap how this rainy, windy week has been going. And, man, doesn't look good down there unless you're going to go later this afternoon or maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, Don, I mean, I don't know what there is to recap. I mean, it's been a little bit windy and a whole lot wet. And that's the same thing it is this morning. Now, the wind has started to make its change to the north, and I just looked at the tide gauge, and it's making that change right at the tide change where we're going to have a little bit of a falling tide all day, and it's dropping like a rock right now. So there's going to be a whole lot of water moving out of that marsh in the next couple of days. It's have to wait and see how dirty it makes it, but, man, that's going to make for some good fishing if the wind will let you calm down because, you know, I mean – we've got a flooded marsh. You've had a very large shrimp crop in the marsh. Our first little cold front that's going to drop the water levels. Every cut, everywhere you got any kind of a bottleneck, it's going to have shrimp pouring out of it. Those fish ought to be stacked up on it. But thing is, they may have forgotten what a lure looks like because there hadn't been a whole lot of boat traffic. There hadn't been a whole lot of moving around all week long around the Grand Isle area. But hey, I mean, we've got to have these days to give them a break, and we're gonna have, you know, we're gonna have good days to follow. And man, that fall fishing's gonna be just, you know, just filling boats. I mean, it ain't that hard to fill them anymore, so you'll be filling the boats full of fish.
Yeah, hard tide fall this time of year is always good. Darrell, I got a question text in from Elliot. He wants to know about crabbing. Has it been easy, and have there been a lot of crabs down there this year? How's crabbing on Grand Isle beaches? That would probably be my advice,
crabbing's
or possibly
been great.
Off the bridge.
Crabbing's been great. Now, I don't fool. I call them sand crabs, because when you get them buried on that beach, a lot of times they're full of sand. But I mean, as of, you know, right before all this weather set in, we made another run on our string of traps in the bay, and you just couldn't complain. I mean, in fact, my wife was with me on that one, and she posted pictures all over the internet. The stone crab run was just outstanding. I mean, two nights we had dinner of nothing but stone crab claws. So I mean, yeah, it's been holding up good. The size is increasing a little bit right now because, you know, most of them have done their shedding for the year. You might have one more shed left. So a lot of the crabs were a little bit light. But yeah, man, other than that, I mean, just this past week, I picked almost a gallon of meat, a gallon-sized Ziploc bag full of crab meat sitting in the refrigerator right now.
Well, you could survive, Darrell, between the fish you catch, the shrimp you catch, and the crabs. Man, you got it made down there. You're like a seafood buffet.
And look, everybody loves their crab cakes, but I can tell you what, there's a different twist to them when you do a crab cake that's about 50% crab meat and 50% shrimp. It's really good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with crab meat. You can put it on just about anything with anything, and some great stuff. A little bit of work peeling them as opposed to crawfish, but well worth it. Well, Darrell, any other thoughts? I mean, you know, what would be your first piece of advice for people that wait until all this junk gets out of here and we get a little bit of a lighter wind and you know, maybe find some clear water? But what would you suggest if somebody's returning after all this high water and wind and dirty water?
Well, it ought to do, the bull reds ought to be good in the passes. And, Don, like you said, it might take a little bit of traveling around to find the trout because you're going to have to find some cleaner water. But the fish ought to be everywhere because the transition had already started. There's still fish out toward the beaches. There's still fish on the lower oyster reefs. But especially this is going to start making those fish start ganging up a little bit more on the inside. So it's going to take a little bit of running around looking for clean water. Just look for moving water. Look for that bait curve, you know, on those points. And you ought to be able to find something just about everywhere you go.
Sounds good, Darrell. Somebody wants to get you. Got you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Give them your site and the telephone number if they want to give you a call and check on availabilities.
Yeah, there's RealScreamers.com or there's 225-937-6288. And the beautiful thing about this time of the year is we got plenty of time to talk fishing.
Very good. Darrell, thanks so much for the report. Always appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you, Don. Stay dry.
All right. There he goes, Darrell Carpenter. Probably going to cook up some of that crab meat. All right. When we come back after the top of the hour break, we've got more fishing reports. Captain Mike Gallo, born on the bayou, is going to join us, talk about an area that is starting to clear out a little bit after some high coastal flooding and some rainy weather. Going to be left with a little bit of residual wind out of the northeast. We'll see what he's got planned. Also, if you like to paddle for your fish, Brendan Bayard joins us. He's always got some good information for the kayakers. And we're going to talk to the plastic man, Ryan Lambert, find out how those teal are shaping up down there. And the question is, when you get an early front like this, it's not going to drop the temperature drastically, but wind direction changes, humidity lowers a little bit, and sometimes it can be just the thing to stimulate those teal, which are early migrants, to head down, or would it move out the teal that are here? Same thing for the doves. This is opening day of dove season. Will it move doves out, move doves in? What will be the residual effect? And what are you seeing? We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 and your fish or hunt of a lifetime. I got a few of those texting in. We'll share those when we come back. Also, a bad boy, the outdoor story that is going to make you sick to your stomach. It's probably one of the most repulsive reports I've done in reporting 35 years on this radio program. All that's still to come in the 6 to 7 hour. Hope you'll be with us for it. 504-260-1870 if you want to text us a message. question or a comment. We'll be back to get to those fishing reports, all that stuff you and I just love to talk about every Saturday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. We do it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And welcome back in hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Glad to have you with us. Got some fishing reports coming your way. Plus, a little bit later on, we're going to talk to Chris LeCocq. He is our videographer, editor for Bayou Wild Television, kicking off season number 13. He'll give you a little bit of a sneak preview as to what's coming up. Chris and I had the pleasure of fishing with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters out of Gulfport, Mississippi, this Labor Day weekend. Got a little bit of a late start on the first day because we had some weather we had to wait out, but got out there and marked some fish and saw some fish. But all day long, came up with a big zero, and that's how tarpon fishing can be. Went back the next day, and by 7:30 the next morning, our 20-year-old youngster that has been diagnosed with a Hodgkin's lymphoma, Justin Logar from New Jersey, brought to the boat 155-pound tarpon, which was released to fight another day. And we captured the video, and it'll be one of our upcoming episodes of Bayou Wild TV. And Chris will tell us a whole lot more of what you'll see on Bayou Wild Television. You can see it anyway. We've got a YouTube channel in addition to many broadcast channels, and we'll kind of run down those for you. All right, looking at our text board, Old Man Sam's checking in. He's working on drainage in Hammond, but he's got a lazy afternoon, asking the question, are you ready for some football? Yeah, I think everybody is, but I hope we get better football out of LSU than what we saw last. There were some bright spots last week, but also some disappointing things, particularly in the area of player behavior. Anyway, he says he's also seen more out of this Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary than any of the others. I'll remember this one's name. Yeah, it's Madison Shahan. If you look back, I got to say Secretary Robert Barham was a good one. He got us through oil spills and serious hurricane damage. He had a tough time when he was Wildlife and Fishery Commissioner and did what I thought was an excellent job. You might recall he used to come on the show with us and keep us up to date on what was going on with the department on a regular basis. Now, his predecessor, Charles Melanson, left basically in disgrace. And the one that followed him, Montesette, I think he's trying to stay out of jail right now. So Secretary Madison Shahan, she's not in any trouble. And I've seen some efforts to accomplish and be very responsive to what the public needs are. So we'll see. Jury's still out on her. She's got a lot of critics, but she's also got a lot of support. All right, want to remind you, next couple weeks, we're going to take the show on the road. Next week, I'll be at the St. Hubert Cathedral Annex in Alabama. We'll be broadcasting there before a dove hunt that I'll be making up there on the Little Creek National Forest. And then the following Saturday, we'll be doing a broadcast from Franklin, Texas, heading over to Texas, continuing our dove hunt and visit some friends over there. And we'll be broadcasting the show. We take it wherever we go. All right, coming back after this, we're going to hear from Captain Mike Gallo, get a report from him. Brendan Bayard's got your paddler report. The Plastic Man, Ryan Lambert, fishing downriver near the tip of the boot, and also what he's seeing as far as the teal. That opens up next weekend in Louisiana. And we'll chat with Chris LeCocq. He is the videographer, producer, editor for Bayou Wild Television. We'll run down what's coming up on Season 13 of Bayou Wild Television. All right, now don't forget, Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Boy, this one kind of makes you sick to even think about it. We'll tell you that story. It might qualify for the baddest bad boy of the year. You know, we do that on the last show of the year. You, the audience, select from some of a select few contestants which one you think was the baddest of the bad. And he might just capture that award. All right, coming back after this, it's Mike Gallo with a fishing report for you. It's what we do every Saturday morning right here on the Outdoors with Don DeBute Radio Network. And that tells us it's time to chat with Captain Mike Gallo, get a fishing report, a bone on the bayou report, and it's presented by Seato. For $249 a year, your membership gets you unlimited fuel drops 24-7. You got it. 24-7, 365 days a year. Tow-ins, jump starts for electrical problems, whatever it takes to get you back safely. It's like having AAA on the water. It's peace of mind for you and your loved one. Makes a great gift, too, and you can sign yourself or someone else up by calling Captain Chris, 504-301-4545. Or it's even easier if you go to the web, seato.com. Captain Mike joins us now, and Mike, it looks like your area is clearing, at least from the rain, but you're probably going to have some residual wind and dirty water. What's the plan today?
Oh, Don, the plan today is to do honeydews and catch up on a little college football.
Yep, that sounds like a pretty good plan. For people that are going to brave it and go out maybe later this afternoon or tomorrow, picking up the pieces of what happened this week, what are your suggestions to find a few fish?
Well, Don, I did get a chance to slip out Tuesday, had a little short trip, do a little scouting. Unfortunately, when we got to the L&M Bridge, the tide was dead still. We still gave it a try. We were marking some fish on the radar, sonar, and we caught one keeper, 13-inch speckled trout. We caught a couple of croakers and a couple of catfish, but we really didn't like that water not moving. And when it's not moving in the Wrigley's, it's probably not moving in other places. Where we thought it would be moving would be the Pearl River, because that, you know, the river water should be flowing out. So we moved over to the Pearl River, found some really beautiful green water, lots of bait, and we worked along the shoreline with a popping cork and a Berkeley gulp. Under the popping cork, we caught a couple of small trout, caught one nice keeper trout. We also picked up a flounder. And the tide, the river water started really gaining momentum. So we figured the water in the Wrigley's had started moving, and we moved back to the Wrigley's. We fished it unsuccessfully. Then we moved over to the Chef, the mouth of the Chef, not far from the Lake Pontchartrain, right there at the mouth, that area, and moved around several times fishing some of those deeper ledges, and we come across a fair amount of white trout. Ended the day, I guess, with about 15 fish before we had a lunch date meeting, catch up with a buddy, talk some business. So it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, although the only water I expect to be clean if you were going today would be along the North Shore or in the Pearl River. I do expect once the wind turns and gets out of that northerly direction that the water is going to be falling and probably have quite a bit of movement to it. The marinas have live bait. They probably have plenty of live bait because not many people have been fishing. But my suggestion would be go to the Pearl and work that over. There's fish in there. It's just a matter of picking through them and find an area that's holding some and really work that area over. And then if that fails for you or starts to fade away as far as numbers of fish, then you want to find another area with similar features. And that would be my advice for today.
Now, Mike, I got a question in from Doug. He wanted me to ask you if you're catching any bass, and I guess while you were there in the Pearl, you certainly could have came across some. Have you been coming across any bass in your areas?
I tell you, Don, we did not catch a single bass, and we actually thought the water was really salty because we did catch quite a few ladyfish, and those are usually like saltier water. And we were catching those on the bottom, and that makes sense because the saltier water is generally on the bottom. But we didn't catch any bass.
Yeah, of course, that's probably going to change. There's been a good bit of rain, and with that moving down the Pearl and that northerly direction and that wind, it's probably going to make things change and push that salt line a little bit further down. But the bass fishing, I think, would be restricted to the upper reaches until that happens. Mike, I've been putting you out on scouting duty for the teal. Happen to see any? Sometimes they're right across the street from your lodge there.
We did see some teal when we were fishing in the Pearl River on Tuesday. One little flock went by. I would estimate 15 or 20 birds went by. Which direction? I got to think now. I think they were headed towards Campos Marina, so they were going south.
South. Now, that's the way they should go. They should fly south. I actually saw some. I was fishing out of Gulfport over there in the edge of the Gulf, and saw some teal flying there. They didn't look like they knew where they were going. They were kind of doing some circling around, looking for a good landing spot. So hopefully folks headed out for opening day next week will find a few teal. Well, Mike, that's some good suggestions for people that are going to try to get out this weekend. When is your next trip scheduled?
I believe I have one midweek and then on the weekend itself. So things are starting to pick up. You know, we've had all this rain, and it certainly dampens our spirits. But one of the benefits it's going to do is cool our water temperatures down, and that's going to get our fish a little more aggressive. So looking forward to that.
Yep, in another few weeks, maybe a month away, we'll be looking for those World Series trout maybe showing up at the bridges, and that could be some good news.
Yeah, I'm expecting a really good fall. That one good trout that we caught in the Pearl River was 17 inches. So that would be nice if they start moving in earlier. We won't mind if they show up early.
Got it. Mike, if they want to get you, you're on my website. Give them your website and that telephone number.
Very simple. My website is aaofla.com. You can find us on Facebook at Angling Adventures of Louisiana or the reliable telephone 985-781-7811.
Mike, what would you say is the breakdown on people contacting you, percentage-wise, website versus telephone?
Oh, I got a text message yesterday from somebody I've never fished with. Just out of the blue, sent me a text message, introduced himself, told me what he wanted to do, anniversary trip for him and his wife, and picked the phone up and called him. And he's going to be coming in 2 weeks. So probably, I would say 70-30 still with the, email being the best way to contact me, or maybe the most the way most people contact me.
Yeah, digital or, you know, internet, email, going on your website. I would think it would probably be about that. That would be my guess. Well, maybe you need to track it, Mike, and let us know.
I'll look into it.
All right, my friend. See you next time.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Captain Mike Gallo, we call him Born on the Bayou. Coming up next, if you like to paddle for your fish, we got a guy that always got some good advice. He keeps tabs on all the competition and the latest trends, and it's brought to you by Massey's. It's called Our Paddler's Report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. Brendan Bayard's his name. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And for all you strokers out there, we have a special Paddler's Report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, and it's presented by Massey's. Three locations, Mid-City, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and on the North Shore in Covington. All the good brands like the Hobies, Jackson Kayak, Native Craft. And they just got in a full shipment of Thule gear boxes. That's the luggage boxes you see on the top of roof racks. A lot of people use them for bugging out during vacation and evacuation times. They really, it's surprising the amount of gear you can get in them. And you can see them right now at Massey's three locations. Joining us is Brendan Bayard. And, Brendan, I love the dilemma you have this morning. A rainy weekend with an LSU home game. It's going to be tough to get out on the water. That is some stiff competition. But if somebody does want to go, what can you tell them?
Yeah, Don, if I was going to go fishing today, I would go down towards Grand Isle and fish some of those islands that are kind of away from Bayou Lafourche, that are away from Leeville. Those areas are probably the dirtiest of the areas. I would head down towards, you know, fishing some of those islands. Those passes clean out the water a little bit quicker than some of the areas that are up a little bit into the estuary. That's where I would make my stand today, and I think there's still plenty of fish around the coastline to take advantage of right now.
Yeah, it sounds good. Understand they had some small 20-pound tarpon along around Fouchon, and some people caught them. What is it like to catch a tarpon from a kayak?
Yeah, this is a guy that caught him in his boat, so not in a kayak, but nevertheless, if you're out there, you know, you might get lucky and see those. It's a rare treat for us in Louisiana to stumble upon them. But he just noticed them greyhounding through the areas over there between the pass and the little rock jetties on Fouchon over there. And, you know, got lucky and hooked up to one. Didn't make it to the boat, but, you know, it was still a really fun experience to have in the, you know, out on the beach in Louisiana of all places. So you never know what you're going to find when you're out there fishing. And just, you know, keep your eyes on the on the horizon. Sometimes you'll see those little tarpon greyhounding, and you can notice that little thread fin that sticks out on their back whenever they're moving, and that'll be the telltale sign of a tarpon, you know, that little black thread fin that's on their hump.
I saw a lot of that this past Labor Day weekend. We were fishing. Jeremy McHugh, a Louisiana guy, has found and discovered an abundance of tarpon off that Mississippi Gulf Coast out of Gulfport, and he's making a living doing it. There's a lot of big fish there, and I got to tell you, that's one of the most exciting fish you'll ever catch. When it fish comes up out of the water and jumps over your head, that and you got a line connected to him. But they are difficult fish to get to the boat. If you don't hook them in that nose or in the side of that mouth, you can forget a deep hook set, because that mouth is, that throat is like a 5-gallon bucket. It's hard to get a hook in it.
Yeah, it's got a couple of spots in its mouth that are the size of a quarter, and you got to get lucky and stick it in one of those, or else, yeah, it's coming out.
Yeah, great fish, and boy, that's some good news if they're there. All right, also, you're talking about crabs still on the beach and bulls in the pass, huh?
Yeah, that's one of the great things to do this time of year is go enjoy the crabbing situations down there on the coast. And then if you like sleigh rides, get out in that pass. And, you know, from now until we really have the cold fronts starting at the end of November, end of October, we should have some pretty serious bull action in the passes. You know, that's one of my favorite things to do, bringing people who have never caught a bull in a kayak and get them to catch one of those, you know, 20, 30-pound fish and have them pull them around for a day or for, you know, 5 minutes or so and make a day out of it and catch 10 until you're just absolutely tired and whooped from catching them. Yep. It's a fun time.
Well, next time we talk, you're going to be in Alabama. I guess that's the MBKFA, Mobile Bay Kayak Fishing Association. The Five Rivers Slam is going to be coming up on the 21st. It's in that Hobie Saltwater Series, and the next one will be the Fallen Tide. That's back in Louisiana on October 12th out of Empire. Brendan, fishing saltwater species in Mobile Bay as opposed to Louisiana coast, same thing? Any differences, any tendency, different bait you use? What adjustments do you make?
It's a little bit different, but not much. You know, you have a lot less marsh for the fish to penetrate in, so you're kind of, you know, a few spots that get heavily hit compared to where Louisiana, where people can spread out. So you tend to be fishing on top of a lot of other people when you go down to those places. You know, there's you know, you can spread out throughout the whole state of Alabama's coastline, so you'll get a lot of people that will fish the Heron Bay marsh section above Dolphin Island. You'll get a lot of people that will fish down on the backside of the Fort Morgan Peninsula, and then you'll get guys that tuck up into areas like Weeks Bay and some of those bay pockets that are along Mobile's shoreline or Mobile Bay shoreline. And then, of course, you can get lucky and fish some of those pass edges to get some trout, like underneath the bridge at Dolphin Island where those humps are. So there's some good fish out there and some really, really big trout. So that's kind of what makes it fun to go that way. You know, we have a little bit better red fishing. Flounder is a little bit better over there, and the trout certainly can be you can catch some trophy size over there.
Yeah, well, we'll be getting your report on it, and then we'll be talking about the Fallen Tide. That's October 12th. Brendan, thanks so much for the report. Hope you enjoy your either quick fishing trip and then the LSU football.
Yeah, I'll be at the stadium tonight. Can't wait.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for the report.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's Brendan Bayard, one of our reporters. Next week we'll hear from Eric Mohabarak, and he'll be checking in with us from the Louisiana Kayak Company. All right, we got a very distasteful, repulsive bad boy of the outdoor to tell you about coming up next right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. You know, I was talking about completing a bucket list, a fish of a lifetime for a young man that came down from New Jersey. Fished with us and caught his fish of a lifetime, 155-pound. That's what we estimated it to be. Tarpon fishing with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters out of Biloxi and Gulfport area. And asking you, what is your bucket list trip? And Big E from Thibodeau says his bucket list would be to go fly fishing in the great state of Montana. And that, yeah, I got to agree, that's probably a pretty good trip. In fact, just being in Montana with some of the scenery I've seen there. Never been there, but maybe I'll make it there with you one day, Big E. And let's see, we've got this one. Do you agree or disagree with LSU bringing back Mike the Tiger to pregame festivities? You know, not that I really care that much, but, I mean, if a tiger can't make it being rolled out in a cage around a stadium and put back in his pen, he's not much of a tiger, is he? And from what I understand, that roar is a pretty good intimidating factor. So I'd say I'd be for it unless there was some serious reason why it would be detrimental to the tiger to bring him out there. All right, we got this one, the old snake doctor checking in. He and his wife had an anniversary picnic at the fly behind the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans on Tuesday. Saw lots of tree ducks, and as the sun went down and a good number of blue-winged teals started flying. That spot has, for years, I mean, I'm talking maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I happened to be there, and I saw a lot of those whistling ducks. They love that spot for some reason there. All right, when we come back from the station identification pause, a very repulsive bad boy of the outdoor story. We're calling this the case of the fawn strangler. Back with it right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. You know, over the last 35 years, I've produced hundreds and hundreds of bad boy of the outdoors features. Some express the ignorance, the carefree attitudes, the pure stupidity of the perpetrators, but every once in a while a case develops that demonstrates the insanity and maybe even evil of a few of them. This one today is one of those times. You see, back on August 21st, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Corporal Dustin Nash, Senior Agent Michael Thacker, and Agent Ernest Thompson arrested Taryn Varnell for aggravated cruelty to animals and taking a spotted fawn and booked him into the Caldwell Parish Correctional Center. About 6 weeks earlier, the agents came across a video showing him choking a spotted fawn to death. They were able to identify Varnell as the person in that video, and after questioning, he admitted he was, in fact, the person in the video choking the fawn to death. Yes, you heard right. He admitted to choking a baby deer to death and recorded it on video. For what purpose? Well, if he's convicted and he's admitted to it, facing maximum criminal fines and civil restitution of up to $27,374 and up to 10 years in prison, is a twisted in desperate need of mental help as well as possible evil in need of an exorcism, is 18-year-old Taryn J. Varnell of Grayson, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. You know, he has earned a nomination for the baddest of the bad. Now, you know, there could be a chance that there's some mitigating circumstances here. I have heard, and this is unconfirmed, that the deer was injured by a vehicle, and in order to put it out of its misery, he chose to choke it to death and record it on video. Now, that may or may not be true. That could be a mitigating circumstance in light of the judge, but there are other ways to euthanize an animal than choking it and putting it on video. And yes, a lot of these bad boys are caught, you know, bragging, putting stuff, other people catching it, putting it on video. And, you know, sometimes the agent, all he's got to do is sit in the office, turn the computer on, and make cases. And this may have been one of those. So we'll find out as this progresses. 18-year-old Taryn J. Varnell in Grayson. One of the baddest of the bad, certainly. All right, we come back after this. Ryan Lambert joins us, Cajun Fishing Adventures. We'll chat with him about fishing and teal hunting right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures, joins us. And Ryan, my producer, Cullen, is wondering, are you in a truck, a boat, or a plane?
I'm in a truck. I'm in a truck right now. I had to put a dove field.
Oh, man, let me tell you, that picture you sent me from Nolehase, that's just what I needed to see on opening day of dove season. Man, they whacked them. Now, when you get a pile of doves like that, it's my understanding that they're donated to the locals. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, we clean them all and put them stacking in the freezer. We eat a lot of them, but a lot of locals get them, too. So that goes to waste here.
All right, so what are you expecting to catch this morning?
I'm going to get my 100. I stopped at 100. It's just been incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible, the birds that they got right now. I mean, just droves and droves and droves of white wings. Just beautiful, just a lot. I got some videos of them as well, just flying. It's the weather's been nice. It rained really, really hard the first day we got here. It's for a desert, it's got a lot of water. Yesterday at home, it rained good too, but it had 12 boats out. Everybody got out. I was very lucky to get that trip off.
Well, back home, we got a little bit of a frontal system coming through. What do you think that's going to do to help doves and teal migrate in? Or will it push them out?
No, it's going to push the teal down so hard. I'm glad it's out the west, too. It'll be a northwester, so it kind of makes that migration come a little bit towards us instead of, you know, Lake Dawes in Texas. You know, it'll push them if they get in that west wind. You know, just like anything else, playing or something, boat, they got to get the wind. It's going to push it a little bit. So that might push them further to the east, and it's going to really get picked this week. You know, plenty of grocery store, boys out there getting everything ready. The boat's ready. As soon as I get home, I got an alligator hunt 2 days and go pick up my boat and my trailers and all that. So I go to blind. They have SAP.
Well, that river being low like it is with the saltwater intrusion, is that affecting any of the feed in your area? I know way down in Venice, I'm getting some complaints from people saying that salt is killing a lot of the vegetation there.
Oh, it'll kill it. It only takes 7 parts per thousand salinity. So, you know, even if it kills the aquatic vegetation, you know, hydrilla, milfoil, stuff like that, it'll kill it in 3 days if it gets a big old storm surge and pushes it up. But the duck potato is the key to a lot of that in the wintertime because even if it kills the top and burns the top, the root is still there. That's what those tubers are that they love to eat. So we're going to have food no matter what. There's a ton of duck potatoes. And thickweed, too. You know, even the duck peas are still there. So all the food is still there. So if it gets up off the land and kills all that, you know, the seed pods are still there. So, you know, we're going to have a great teal season, and hopefully we'll have enough food going into the big season to have a great season. I'm pretty hopeful, because I saw on the radar the other day the ducks were blacking out the radar coming down.
Wow. Well, I got my duck stamp. It's that pretty pintail, one of your favorite birds. And by the way, do you need to get a duck stamp to hunt in Mexico?
No, you don't. That's a federal Louisiana, you know, a federal United States thing. But you don't need one here, but, you know, you need the license. We buy licenses for dove. We have different licenses for different everything. It's not a yearly license for non-residents. You buy it as you come in for the trip you're coming in for. So I got 18 guys with me. We got a big group, so they're having a ball. But I'm going to hunt this morning and this evening and get back on the plane and go back to work.
Yeah, I know what you mean. How's the weather there anyway? Is it extremely hot? Looked like it was a little overcast in the video you sent.
Right now it's 76 degrees right now. It's pretty dang nice. It rained so hard the first day we got here, and there's a nice breeze and the humidity's low. I mean, it's really nice. And you're sitting on the porch in between the unjust there, everybody's like, man, this is heaven. So yeah, it's kind of overcast this morning too. So it's really nice. It's when you got that many doves going at you, you don't feed and feel the heat.
How long does the dove hunting last over there in Mexico?
Well, you know, normally it'll go into October, and then they'll migrate down to Nicaragua as soon as the breeze gets big enough on the flyway, or a cold front pushes them, or a hurricane might push them. They'll end up down in Nicaragua. But, you know, we'll get into October, you know, sometime in October before they push. And November 1st, we start with ducks, geese, dove, and quail, you know, morning doves. But quail everywhere we go, both hunts up and down, there's been quail everywhere. We have a great quail season down there.
That's
if you ever give an invitation to come to Moda, I say, don't pass it up.
Absolutely not. Well, if somebody wants to find out more about it, tell them how to get you.
I was thinking just go to CajunFishingAdventures.com, check out our place, or if they want information about anything else, call me on my cell at 504-559-5111, and we'll make it happen, I tell you. So it'll be a busy fall. We're really booked up. So I still got some spots for teal, so if somebody wants to teal, let me get on quick.
Very good. Have a good time down there, Ryan. Pile them up, and we'll check in with you when you get back next week. I guess you'll be in the duck blind when we talk to you next Saturday morning. Huh?
Definitely will be. It'll be great.
All right. We'll see you then.
Talk to you then, buddy.
Captain Ryan Lambert, we call him the Plastic Man, or Man of Steel during hunting season, because that's what he uses. All right, coming back after this, Chris LeCocq is going to join us from Bayou Wild TV. Got a big season 13 coming up. We'll tell you what episodes you'll see right after this timeout on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some text messages. The Weaves say today's a good day for cleaning out the old tackle box. Justin, the duck guy, getting ready for his concealed carry class and then headed to the hunting camp. River Rat says the Blood River's up in his yard, but he got the show on, so life ain't so bad. And Ben from Mississippi wants me to do a three-hour show. These 2 hours go by too fast. Well, it's not because of lack of material, Ben, but, you know, other stations that carry the show have other programming. And Frankie D., the King of the Tick Foss, says, on a day like this, his dad would say, with this falling water and wind, let's go pull the trawl. Frankie, we got to go get those sockeye. Give me some dates when we can maybe make a trip out there with you. All right, I also got a guy at the gas station in Metairie said he saw three guys loading the ice chest and gassing up the boat. Optimists or masochists? Well, if you look at that forecast, the radar, the weather's moving out. Extreme southeast Louisiana is still getting it, but in the next few hours, it's going to be out of here. Yeah, fishing directly behind a system is not the greatest, but certainly is doable. All right, let's talk to Chris LeCocq, the editor, videographer for Bayou Wild TV. Good morning, Chris. Boy, season 13, it's already here, and we got some exciting episodes coming up. Tell us briefly what we'll see in a description of them.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, everybody. We're, as Don mentioned, we just kicked off, actually, our 13th season of Bayou Wild. So we already aired two of the episodes. We have several more in the can. And I'd say you could break our episodes for this season up into a couple different categories. Our first category being our newest one that we're excited about, Tigers in the Wild, which I know you've talked to your listeners a lot about and many of them familiar with, but we're taking LSU athletes and bringing them on hunting fishing trips. So you can catch some episodes like that. One of them that we have coming up features two of our gymnasts from the national championship team, and we got to bring them on a fishing trip offshore. And then we also got to spend some time with Mason Taylor, tight end for LSU football. And we got to bring him on a fishing trip. And so that's going to be featured on an episode. And we also got another one coming up, and all I'm going to say, it's going to be a monstrous episode. So we'll just tease it that way. And if you follow our Bayou Wild Facebook page or Instagram page, you can kind of see more teasers from that. And so that's our Tigers in the Wild episodes that's coming up. And then we have a couple other episodes that I like to say are follow-up episodes from things we've done before. And so those might include something like a tribute to Dutch Prager, who a lot of your listeners are familiar with. So we're going to be able to do a episode that's a tribute to him as he recently passed. And he was almost 100 years old and still fishing, so that's always fun and cool to cover. And then also Mr. Dale Bordelon, who I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with, we're going to do a follow-up episode with him based on one that we did several years ago. And his whole deal is he's a market hunter. He does outdoor things in Louisiana, duck hunting mostly, like they did back in the days of market hunters. He still does everything authentic, from handmade pierogues to tools to lanterns to using an old 1900 shotgun. So we're going to do a follow-up episode with him sometime this year. That'll be an upcoming episode. And then our third category is just some more fun and exciting things that we like to do in Bayou Wild. We recently got to go on a trip, another hunt of a lifetime, with a deserving young man who caught his first tarpon. And that was always fun to go out there. We're on the Mississippi coast with Stillwater Fishing. We got to land a tarpon. We got some pretty cool video on that one. It wasn't the best of days, but we were able to pull one off. So that's the upcoming episode.
And we got some cooking features, huh?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely got cooking features. You know, we always love featuring time at White Oak Plantation with Chef John Foles. So there's going to be a whole slew of new cooking features coming up, from turkey to duck to shrimp. You name it, we're going to cook it, right? And we're going to feature it on Bayou Wild so other people can learn how to cook it.
Yep, and the best way to find where you can watch Bayou Wild is go to our website, BayouWildTV.com. And, of course, we got all the back archive issues there on the YouTube and a list of all the channels and times where it airs. Any final words on something special coming up?
I just reiterate what you said. Go to BayouWildTV.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And I'll say a last interesting and fun topic that your listeners are definitely used to is sustainability. A lot of the listeners know that there's been changes in regulations and rules, and we're going to be doing multiple episodes coming up where we talk about how you can catch and release safely, or what's being done to bring some fish back or help sustain population of fishing. So that's all going to be coming up on Bayou Wild.
Yeah, and we're going to do the redfish reload, which is the first ever restocking of redfish in Louisiana. We'll document that. Chris, thanks so much. Great job on the show. We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks.
Chris Lecoq, editor of Bayou Wild TV. All right, thanks to all of you who texted in. Sorry couldn't get to all of them. We'll see you next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You know, I was talking about completing a bucket list, a fish of a lifetime for a young man that came down from New Jersey, fished with us and caught his fish of a lifetime, 155 pound. That's what we estimated it to be. Tarpon fishing with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters out of Biloxi and Gulfport area. And asking you, what is your bucket list trip? And Big E from Thibodaux says his bucket list would be to go fly fishing in the great state of Montana. And that, yeah, I got to agree, that's probably a pretty good trip. In fact, just being in Montana with some of the scenery I've seen there. Never been there, but maybe I'll make it there with you one day, Big E. And let's see, we've got this one. Do you agree or disagree with LSU bringing back Mike the Tiger to pregame festivities? You know, not that I really care that much, but, I mean, if a tiger can't make it being rolled out in a cage around a stadium and put back in his pen, he's not much of a tiger, is he? And from what I understand, that roar is a pretty good intimidating factor. So I'd say I'd be for it unless there was some serious reason why it would be detrimental to the tiger to bring him out there. All right, we got this one, the old snake doctor checking in. He and his wife had an anniversary picnic at the fly behind the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans on Tuesday. Saw lots of tree ducks, and as the sun went down and a good number of blue-winged teal started flying. That spot has, for years, I mean, I'm talking maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I happened to be there, and I saw a lot of those whistling ducks. They love that spot for some reason there. All right, when we come back from this station identification pause, a very repulsive Bad Boy of the Outdoor story. We're calling this the Case of the Fawn Strangler. Back with it right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, over the last 35 years, I've produced hundreds and hundreds of Bad Boy of the Outdoors features. Some express the ignorance, the carefree attitudes, the pure stupidity of the perpetrators, but every once in a while a case develops that demonstrates the insanity and maybe even evil of a few of them. This one today is one of those times. You see, back on August 21st, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Corporal Dustin Nash, Senior Agent Michael Thacker, and Agent Ernest Thompson arrested Taryn Varnell for aggravated cruelty to animals and taking a spotted fawn and booked him into the Caldwell Parish Correctional Center. About 6 weeks earlier, the agents came across a video showing him choking a spotted fawn to death. They were able to identify Varnell as the person in that video, and after questioning, he admitted he was, in fact, the person in the video choking the fawn to death. Yes, you heard right. He admitted to choking a baby deer to death and recorded it on video. For what purpose? Well, if he's convicted and he's admitted to it, facing maximum criminal fines and civil restitution of up to $27,374 and up to 10 years in prison, is a twisted in desperate need of mental help as well as possible evil in need of an exorcism, is 18-year-old Taryn J. Varnell of Grayson, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. You know, he has earned a nomination for the baddest of the bad. Now, you know, there could be a chance that there's some mitigating circumstances here. I have heard, and this is unconfirmed, that the deer was injured by a vehicle, and in order to put it out of its misery, he chose to choke it to death and record it on video. Now, that may or may not be true. That could be a mitigating circumstance in light of the judge, but there are other ways to euthanize an animal than choking it and putting it on video. And yes, a lot of these bad boys are caught, you know, bragging, putting stuff, other people catching it, putting it on video. And, you know, sometimes the agent, all he's got to do is sit in the office, turn the computer on, and make cases. And this may have been one of those. So we'll find out as this progresses. 18-year-old Taryn J. Varnell in Grayson, one of the baddest of the bad, certainly. All right, we come back after this. Ryan Lambert joins us, Cajun Fishing Adventures. We'll chat with him about fishing and teal hunting right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures, joins us. And Ryan, my producer, Cullen, is wondering, are you in a truck, a boat, or a plane?
I'm in a truck. I'm in a truck right now. I had to put a dove deal.
Oh, man, let me tell you, that picture you sent me from Nolehase, man, that's just what I needed to see on opening day of dove season. Man, they whacked them. Now, when you get a pile of doves like that, it's my understanding that they're donated to the locals. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, we clean them all and put them, stack them in the freezer. We eat a lot of them, but a lot of locals get them too. So that goes to waste here.
All right, so what are you expecting to catch this morning?
I'm going to get my 100. I stopped at 100. So it's just been incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible, the birds that they got right now. I mean, just droves and droves and droves of white wings. Just beautiful, just a lot. I got some videos of them as well, just flying. It's the weather been nice. It rained really, really hard the first day we got here. And for the desert, it's got a lot of water. Yesterday at home, it rained good too, but it had 12 boats out. Everybody got out. I was very lucky to get that trip off.
Well, back home, we got a little bit of a frontal system coming through. What do you think that's going to do to help doves and teal migrate in? Or will it push them out?
It's going to push the teal down so hard. And I'm glad it's out the west, too. It'll be a northwester, so it kind of makes that migration come a little bit towards us instead of, you know, Lake Dawes in Texas. You know, it'll push them if they get in that west wind. It'll just like anything else, playing or something. You know, those, anytime you get the wind, it's going to push you a little bit. So that might push them further to the east, and it's going to really get thick this week. And plenty of groceries for them. Boys out there getting everything ready. The boat's ready. As soon as I get home, I got an alligator hunt 2 days and go pick up my boat and my trailers and all that. So I go to the blind. They have SAP.
Well, that river being low like it is with the saltwater intrusion, is that affecting any of the feed in your area? I know way down in Venice, I mean, getting some complaints from people saying that salt is killing a lot of the vegetation there.
Oh, it'll kill it. It only takes 7 parts per thousand salinity. You know, even if it kills the aquatic vegetation, you know, hydrilla, milkball, stuff like that, it'll kill it in 3 days if it gets a big old storm surge and pushes it up. But the duck potato is the key to a lot of that in the wintertime, because even if it kills the top and burns the top, the roots are still there. That's where those tubers are that they love to eat. So we're going to have food no matter what. There's a ton of duck potatoes. And pickweed, too. You know, even the duck peas are still there. So all the food is still there. So if it gets up off the land and kills all that, you know, the seed pods are still there. So, you know, we're going to have a great teal season, and hopefully we'll have enough food going into the big season to have a great season. I'm pretty hopeful, because I saw on the radar the other day the ducks were blacking out the radar coming down.
Wow. Well, I got my duck stamp. It's that pretty pintail, one of your favorite birds. And by the way, do you need to get a duck stamp to hunt in Mexico?
No, you don't. That's a federal Louisiana, you know, a federal United States thing. But you don't need one here, but, you know, you need a license. We buy licenses for dove. We have different licenses for different everything. It's not a yearly license for non-residents. You buy it as you come in for the trip you're coming in for. So I got 18 guys with me. We got a big group, so we're having a ball. But I'm going to hunt this morning and this evening and get back on the plane and go back to work. Woodchuck's hunting fishing, so it's not that bad a deal.
Yeah, I know what you mean. How's the weather there anyway? Is it extremely hot? Looked like it was a little overcast in the video you sent.
Right now, it's 76 degrees right now. It's pretty dang nice. It rained so hard the first day we got here, and there's a nice breeze, and the humidity's low. I mean, it's really nice. And you're sitting on the porch in between the unjust there. Everybody's like, man, this is heaven. So, yeah, it's kind of overcast this morning, too. So it's really nice. It's when you got that many doves going at you, you don't feed and feel the heat.
How long does the dove hunting last over there in Mexico?
Well, you know, normally it'll go into October, and then they'll migrate down to Nicaragua as soon as the breeze gets big enough for them to fly away, or a cold front pushes them, or a hurricane might push them. They'll end up down in Nicaragua. But, you know, we'll get into October, you know, sometime in October before they push. And November 1st, we start with ducks, geese, dove, and quail, you know, morning doves. But quail everywhere we go. Both hunts up and down there, they quail everywhere. We have a great quail season down.
Yeah,
if you ever give an invitation to come to Moldavia, don't pass it up.
Absolutely not. Well, if somebody wants to find out more about it, tell them how to get you.
They can just go to CajunFishingAdventure.com, check out our place, or if they want information about anything else, call me on my cell at 504-559-5111, and we'll make it happen. I tell you, it'll be a busy fall. We're really booked up. Yeah, I still got some spots for teal, so if somebody wants to teal, let me get on quick.
Very good. Have a good time down there, Ryan. Pile them up, and we'll check in with you when you get back next week. I guess you'll be in the duck blind when we talk to you next Saturday morning. Huh?
Definitely will be. It'll be great.
All right, we'll see you then.
Talk to you then, buddy.
Captain Ryan Lambert, we call him the Plastic Man, or Man of Steel during hunting season, because that's what he uses. All right, coming back after this, Chris LeCocq is going to join us from Bayou Wild TV. Got a big season 13 coming up. We'll tell you what episodes you'll see right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some text messages. The Weaves say today's a good day for cleaning out the old tackle box. Justin, the duck guy, getting ready for his concealed carry class and then headed to the hunting camp. A River Rat says the Blood River's up in his yard, but he got the show on, so life ain't so bad. And Ben from Mississippi wants me to do a three-hour show. These 2 hours go by too fast. Well, it's not because of lack of material, Ben, but, you know, other stations that carry the show have other programming. And Frankie D, the King of the Tick Falls, says, on a day like this, his dad would say, with this falling water and wind, let's go pull the trawl. Frankie, we got to go get those sockeye. Give me some dates when we can maybe make a trip out there with you. All right, also got a guy at the gas station in Metairie said he saw three guys loading the ice chest and gassing up the boat. optimists or masochists? Well, if you look at that forecast, the radar, the weather's moving out. Extreme southeast Louisiana is still getting it, but in the next few hours, it's going to be out of here. Yeah, fishing directly behind a system is not the greatest, but certainly is doable. All right, let's talk to Chris Lecoq, the editor, videographer for Bayou Wild TV. Good morning, Chris. Boy, season 13, it's already here, and we got some exciting episodes coming up. Tell us briefly what we'll see in a description of them.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, everybody. We're, as Don mentioned, we just kicked off actually our 13th season of Bayou Wild. So we already aired two of the episodes. We have several more in the can, and I'd say you could break our episodes for this season up into a couple different categories. Our first category being our newest one that we're excited about, Tigers in the Wild. Which I know you've talked to your listeners a lot about, and many of them familiar with, but we're taking LSU athletes and bringing them on hunting fishing trips. So you can catch some episodes like that. One of them that we have coming up features two of our gymnasts from the national championship team, and we got to bring them on a fishing trip offshore. And then we also got to spend some time with Mason Taylor, tight end for LSU football. And we got to bring him on a fishing trip. And so that's going to be featured on an episode. And we also got another one coming up, and all I'm going to say, it's going to be a monstrous episode. So we'll just tease it that way. And if you follow our Bayou Wild Facebook page or Instagram page, you can kind of see more teasers from that. And so that's our Tigers in the Wild episodes that's coming up. And then we have a couple other episodes that I like to say are follow-up episodes from things we've done before. And so those might include something like a tribute to Dutch Prager, who a lot of your listeners are familiar with. So we're going to be able to do a episode that's a tribute to him as he recently passed. And he was almost 100 years old and still fishing, so that's always fun and cool to cover. And then also Mr. Dale Bordelon, who I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with. We're going to do a follow-up episode with him based on one that we did several years ago. And his whole deal is he's a market hunter. He does outdoor things in Louisiana, duck hunting mostly, like they did back in the days of market hunters. He still does everything authentic, from handmade pyros to tools to lanterns to using an old 1900 shotgun. So we're going to do a follow-up episode with him sometime this year. That'll be an upcoming episode. And then our third category is just some more fun and exciting things that we like to do in Bayou Wild. We recently got to go on a trip, another hunt of a lifetime, with a deserving young man who caught his first tarpon. And that was always fun to go out there. We're on the Mississippi coast with stillwater fishing. We got to land a tarpon. We got some pretty cool video on that one. It wasn't the best of days, but we were able to pull one off. So and that's the upcoming episode.
And we got some cooking features,
Oh, yeah, we absolutely got cooking features. You know, we always love featuring time at White Oak Plantation with Chef John Foles. So there's going to be a whole slew of new cooking features coming up, from turkey to duck to shrimp. You name it, we're going to cook it, right? And we're going to feature it on Bayou Wild so other people can learn how to cook it.
Yep, and the best way to find where you can watch Bayou Wild is go to our website, bayouwildtv.com. And, of course, we got all the back archive issues there on the YouTube and a list of all the channels and times where it airs. Any final words on something special coming up?
I just reiterate what you said. Go to bayouwildtv.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And I'll say a last interesting and fun topic that your listeners are definitely used to is sustainability. A lot of the listeners know that there's been changes in regulations and rules, and we're going to be doing multiple episodes coming up where we talk about how you can catch and release safely, or what's being done to bring some fish back
or help sustain population of fishing. So that's all going to be coming up on Bayou Wild.
Yeah, and we're going to do the redfish reload, which is the first ever restocking of redfish in Louisiana. We'll document that. Chris, thanks so much. Great job on the show. We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks.
Chris Lecoq, editor of Bayou Wild TV. All right, thanks to all of you who texted in. Sorry I couldn't get to all of them. We'll see you next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.